You're listening to a special edition of News18.com's podcast. Today, we are going to discuss the verdict of the 2019 Lok Sabha elections. The world's biggest democracy delivered a historic verdict this Thursday. It brought back to power Narendra Modi-led National Democratic Alliance for a consecutive second term. With this, Modi will become the first non-Congress Prime Minister to get re-elected after a full five-year term, and BJP the first party since Jawaharlal Nehru's Congress to return with a majority of its own. Let's talk about this election outcome with Sumit Pandey, editor politics, News18.com. Sumit, Narendra Modi has emerged as people's undisputed choice for the position of Prime Minister, underlining that his charisma continues to dominate the electorate's imagination. Do you agree?
Well, yes, in many ways, he has been able to subsume many fault lines within the polity or the electorate. Say, for example, in Uttar Pradesh, when the BJP was facing the toughest challenge and everybody thought that they were up against a very strong caste alliance, he was able to paper over those fault lines and still lead BJP to a very remarkable victory. The other aspect of his victory is that expanse of his victory, which also in a way shows the acceptability of the leader. Right. From down south in Telangana, there's some seats where they have done well in Tamil Nadu, but then they have not won any seats. But then BJP's growth in West Bengal and Odisha has been phenomenal.
Right.
No party in the last 40-50 years has shown such growth in such a short span of time.
Right.
Even Trinamool Congress or Mamata Banerjee, for that matter, were basically, you know, parties which came out of the Congress. So they had a base in West Bengal.
Right.
BJP was on the margins for a very, very long time. So that sort of an achievement in the number of votes that they've got, the percentage jump in vote, is phenomenal. So in that sense, I think it's a huge and a massive mandate. Apart from Nehru, I don't think anybody has got this sort of a repeat mandate, increase in number of seats as Mr. Modi has.
That's right. They've also established their hold in the Hindi heartland, also regaining whatever ground was lost in the state elections of Madhya Pradesh, Rajasthan and Chhattisgarh. There is that grit and determination to not let that kill any morale and keep up the tempo when it comes to big elections that matter.
I think the organizational strength of the BJP was always there in these states. The other aspect which I find very interesting about this outcome is that the intelligence of the voter knows which party and for what he or she is voting for, whether it's a panchayat election or a state election or a national election. So if they voted out BJP in the state assembly elections, then they again were voting or making a comparison between BJP and Congress in the national Lok Sabha elections, and then they chose. It is also reiterated, this choice, in the voters' preference in Odisha, where they voted for Naveen Patnaik in the state assembly elections. But that sort of vote is not translated into Lok Sabha for Naveen. Similarly, BJP has got seats in Odisha, but then it does not reflect on their performance in the assembly elections there. In Telangana, as I was saying, 4 seats for BJP in Congress. So basically, the electorate voted for 8 out of 17 seats for national parties, wherein 7 months back, they gave an overwhelming 3/4 majority to TRS. So it also speaks about it. So which is why I say that, the education of the voter and their understanding of their vote and the importance of their vote, I think is quite much reflected in this verdict.
Okay, what does this verdict also tell us about the Modi Amit Shah duo? They have emerged as an unstoppable winning machine of sorts.
Well, yes, I think that is. Mr. Modi has not lost an election since he became the chief minister in 2001 in Gujarat. So in that sense, yes, and BJP under Mr. Modi and Shah is a party which is perpetually in an election mode, whether it's panchayat elections or parliament elections or state assembly elections. Secondly, I think they have within the BJP also developed this machinery, the organization structure, for fighting elections, contesting elections. And secondly, I think their use of the media, both social and otherwise, I think has been better than their adversaries at any point in time in the last 15-17 years.
Right. So there's been a clear messaging which has percolated well to the electorate. There's been a strong organization powering this victory. At the same time, juxtapose this to what Congress has done or achieved. This is a huge embarrassment in a way for the grand old party. What do you think lies ahead for Congress after this defeat?
it's a huge challenge for the second time in succession. If these numbers hold as they are now, Congress will not have the leader of opposition position in the Lok Sabha. 44, they were down in dumps.
Mm-hmm.
51, I think there will be questions raised within the Congress, serious question and serious introspection as to what is the way ahead for the Congress party.
And for the leadership of Rahul Gandhi.
Obviously, there will be accountability. And I'm not sure whether this sort of accountability generally, it doesn't happen in the Congress that, you know, the any offer of resignation is accepted. I do not know what will happen in the CWC, but if this is the verdict after 5 years in power, the serious introspection for the Congress is like states like Odisha. They have been in opposition for 20 years, primary opposition. BJP comes in 4 years and becomes the main opposition party and runs away with 7 seats.
Right.
They have not been able to do anything in the last 20 years.
Right.
So what have they been doing as an opposition? Mm-hmm. Which means that in many states as an opposition party, they have not been able to fulfill their mandate of the opposition unit.
Right.
Similarly, the structural strength of the Congress to contest election, the state leaderships, the regional leaderships, which Congress had and developed over the years since independence, I think they have all withered away in the last so many years. Senior, some party leaders have either left Congress. I mean, if you look at it, most of these people are from the Congress. Jagan Mohan Reddy's father was a Congress chief minister.
Absolutely. It's the party that has fragmented the most.
Yeah.
And most of the regional parties have come out of Congress.
I should tell you that even K. Chandrasekhar Rao started his career in the Congress party.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chandrababu Naidu started his career in the Congress party.
Right.
Himanand, this guy, the Assam minister, Himantananda, Himanto Biswa Sarma, a congressman. So either these leaders have left Congress for various reasons, or within the Congress party they are marginalized, or they are in a state of lethargy that they are not doing anything. See, as it happened in Delhi, and democracy and polity has its own way of finding an opposition party also if they think that the opposition is not up to its job.
Right.
So Aam Aadmi parties rise here. For that matter, Ahmadi's parties rise at one point in time in Punjab also. So I think the electorate has grown over the years to understand the nuances, and it needs delivery, and it is seeking clear accountability, not only from the government in power, but also opposition.
Right. Is it also a vote to reject dynasty politics?
To some extent, yes. But some of the leaders within the BJP who are part of the dynasty have won. On the other hand, so Vasundhara Raje's son is one. Prem Kumar Dhumal's son in Himachal Pradesh is one. I think Chaurindri Virender Singh's son in Haryana is winning from Hisar. So I'm not very sure about that. But
BJP has successfully managed to associate dynasty politics with the grand old party, the Gandhis.
Yeah, that they have successfully been able to do. For example, in this case, and they've also been able to make certain, you know, examples out of it. For example, in that case of Bangalore South seat where Anand Kumar's wife was in contention, BJP denied that ticket and gave to a young worker. Now, had BJP given that seat, you know, there was an argument to somebody in the family, so that seat would have remained for another 10 years with that particular person or the family. And the growth of another leader, which they would have would now develop in the next 10 years in parliament and otherwise, would get impeded.
Right.
So these are the considerations which I think BJP has taken a very conscious decision about. And BJP has tried to stay away or steer away from the dynasty politics because they understand, I think, that with this burgeoning middle class in India, it does not like the sense of entitlement and privilege to a certain few.
You need to earn it.
Yeah, you need to earn it, I think. And
something I think BJP's campaign successfully did while portraying the image of Narendra Modi to its...
Yeah, I think it's part of that messaging, I think, and they've been successfully able to do that.
This was so much talk about the Mahagathbandhan. You also spoke about it earlier just now. It's been an unremarkable performance, to say the least, in the most important state of Uttar Pradesh. How do you rate their performance? What are the takeaways from that?
I think Mahagathbandhan, to a larger extent, and including my own self, I for one, after having traveled in some parts of UP, thought that their combination was working, that there was a vote transfer and there was a mobilization. But what BJP, in the process, you know, at times what happens is that when there is a mobilization of certain communities, that can also lead to a counter mobilization. So BJP always stood an advantage with, say, a 20% vote, two parties against it in Uttar Pradesh. But I think they made the best of that 60% vote which remained with the BJP or within that catchment area. So they have, they were able to, I think, reach out to the aspirational communities or classes within the backward and the Dalit groups, which were not part of the social umbrella or the vote bank which the Mahagathbandhan was trying to build. That is the Jatavs, the Yadavs and the Muslims, which constitute about 40-42% of the vote bank.
That's a big chunk.
Yeah, that's a big chunk. Which is also getting reflected in the results that in only seats where this vote chunk is more than 45%, almost 50%, is the Mahagathbandhan winning. So as it falls below 45%, which means that there has been a huge counter-mobilization which has led to BJP's victory.
What other regional parties have made their mark or missed the mark in this election?
Jagan Mohan Reddy's YSR Congress, after it, since, although, you know, they were quite a favorite in 2014 also, but with TDP at that point in time having an alliance with BJP, and I think Pawan Kalyan's party also, they missed out. But yes, this victory is very emphatic for Jagan Mohan Reddy, and almost for 5 years now, he has been on a campaign trail. So every weekend he has to go to Hyderabad for appearing in those pending cases, his personal appearance. And apart from that, you know, he's been virtually, you know, campaigning every day. So that is a very emphatic victory. Tamil Nadu again, you know, interestingly, it has been a landslide for the DMK alliance. But in the bipoles, which would have probably determined the fate of the government, it has been a split verdict. So once again, as I said earlier, you know, the electorate knows which party one is voting for and for what.
And in Kerala, how do you look at the only glimmer of hopes that have come for Congress? Of course, not just
again,
Kerala, you know, but also Punjab.
Again, if it is a national election, Modi versus Rahul, and left is not to be seen as to be in contention. The people voted for the most viable alternative, it seems, for the national, for Delhi, and that is the Congress party.
What does it specifically say about Rahul Gandhi? Is he a liability? Is he an asset?
I think what is interesting here is that Rahul Gandhi, as a leader, obviously his accountability will be sought. I mean, from 2004, he's been in politics. This will be the fourth election. And as I said again, you know, politics is something where, you know, the messaging and what you do, I mean, you have to be constantly on your toes, you know, you have to breathe politics, do politics 24 hours. So it's not a part-time job. And one has to be, you know, continuously keep on communicating with the voters and the electorate and the masses.
And you think he falls short on that?
I think Rahul Gandhi on certain issues has been able to perform as part of the opposition, but I personally feel that the sort of tenacity and rigor which is now demanded, not only now, it has always been demanded of politicians, is something which the Congress party has lacked in the last 15-20. There has been a very steady erosion. See, Congress was a natural choice for leading the country post-independence. They had these institutional mechanisms, and the leadership came from across the country. And it has eroded over the years. I have not seen in the last 20-25 years Congress trying to find out a new political constituency for itself. BJP have won 10 seats in 2009 general elections in UP. In 5 years, it could rise to 73. So I'm not saying that, you know, it's not, the recovery is not as if, you know, it is rocket science. But has Congress attempted to find a new constituency? For they won more than 20 seats in 2009 because of the certain equations prevailing at that point in time, the situation in the country. But the electorate and the constituency, the work and the rigor that is required, I think that seems to be missing, and the understanding of the ground realities of politics.
What about their ideology? There's a lot that has been spoken about Congress needing to rediscovering an ideology or messaging. It seems at this point in time a bit scattered.
See, if you look at it, the Congress essentially was a was a centrist party in Indian politics. Post-independence, or at the time of independence, it was made into a Hindu party, not by its own self, but by the Muslim League, which accused it of being a Hindu party. Okay, so by dint of that, and by dint of its domination, it could acquire both the right and the left of the political space. Over the years, its organization has weakened. But what happened in the last 20-25 years is that Congress has taken its polity, or the center of gravity of its polity, towards the left, conceding a lot of space, centrist space, to the BJP. So BJP has occupied the center space and the aspirational space also. BJP has also occupies the right of the center space and obviously the extreme right space. So that's a huge, huge space in the polity.
Would you say that is the reason why Modi has been able to cut across regions, states, castes and classes in this election? Is there a new voter base?
See, when you vote, you also look at, there is a certain vote which is a very fixed vote for both, for pro or against anybody. And it is a very determined vote, which is going to go out and vote the way he or she thinks. But the elections more or less are decided by the people who are somewhere in the middle. Now, under the given circumstances, the voter was presented with a choice. BJP or Congress, Modi or Rao, in the general elections. So, I think BJP was able to convince the voters that they were a better choice. So, a large section of that voter. And then secondly, I think the other aspect is that BJP, some of the social sector schemes, we'll have to see, and as BJP has been claiming, that they really work well for the party on the ground level. So cutting across caste lines, BJP has got votes from many sections of the society, which probably may not have voted for them 10 years, 15 years, from now.
What would go down as Prime Minister Modi's big achievements in the tenure that has gone by, and what do we expect from this government when it comes? A bigger, a stronger, a much more invigorated BJP in its second term?
I think politically his biggest achievement for the BJP would be that he was able to take this giant leap and pole vault the party and himself from one side of the social economic divide to the other. BJP was always considered a party of the urban, the elite, or Brahmin Baniya party, as the earlier Jan Sangh was known. Some of the decisions that he took and the way he was able to communicate, including demonetization, I would say, and I've written about that also at that point in time, because that was a crucial factor. He was able to, make that leap and convert this party, or at least create a perception that BJP is for the poor. And I think that, for example, somebody was telling me the other day that suppose if in a factory there are 5 or 6 people working under a roof, then probably because of some of the decisions, the owner of that small factory may not be an ardent supporter of BJP as he or she was, say, in 2014. But the 5 or 6 people working under him are certainly the ones who would probably are more likely to go and vote for the BJP than they did in 2014. I think that was a huge difference that one could see this time around.
Going back again, how do you think this term of BJP, the second term, could be different from the one we just saw?
We'll have to see. I think some of the reforms which the markets were expecting, that would be very important. This sort of mandate also brings in a huge responsibility for the BJP. Because they're going to be tested on a lot of things, how they, some of the poll promises that they have made. So it's a huge responsibility, and at the same time a huge opportunity for them to bring about some changes which have been pending for a very, very long time. That I think would be very, very crucial in the days ahead. Their dominance of the Indian polity is well established now, both in terms of the geographical expanse and the depth that they have now. How they are able to utilize it in the days ahead, I think will be very, very interesting to see.
All right. I think, Sumit, you would agree that this election verdict is nothing short of a decisive shift in India's polity that has dealt a blow to opposition parties and left them with much to introspect and analyze if they are going to challenge the Modi-Shah duo going forward. Thank you so much for all the inputs and the understanding of the election verdict today. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in to News18.com's podcast. For more analysis, explainers, and opinions, you can always log on to News18.com for the entire Lok Sabha elections coverage. Thank you so much.